We're actually going to go back to verse 24, but sometimes it helps to see the whole context. As you could say, the Spirit wraps up verses 16 through 24, and even to verses 25 and 26, about a part of how we live these truths. But this morning, we're going to focus primarily about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. There's many dynamics to think about as we think about a relationship with God. And as I was thinking about some of the fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned in here, by contrast, I have to admit that all the stuff that I've been seeing happening in our election campaigns and political parties the past several years, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of the fruit of the Spirit present at times. And I really believe it raises the question as we look at these people who are vying for office, do you have to sacrifice good character for success? Think about what our world seems to suggest. What does it take to get ahead in our society today? Because I believe our world seems to promote a belief that the ends justify the means. But the question that comes back over and over again that I think all of us wrestle with, can you be a good person who does good things and still succeed? And I believe we can. I believe that we can succeed in life without having to compromise the quality of our relationship with God or with others. And the Holy Spirit, I see, presents a similar challenge to the Galatians. Through Paul, the Holy Spirit exhorts the Galatians to persevere in pursuing holiness and not give up. But is that possible in our world and culture, to succeed without compromising our character? It seems that the Holy Spirit believes it's possible, because the Holy Spirit, jumping ahead to verse 9 in chapter 6, the Holy Spirit says this, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And it's implying that we will reap the riches of God's goodness. I'm not talking about so much materialism, but just that blessing of God. And I believe the reason the Galatians were being challenged to persevere in doing good is because of the pressures of the devil to sacrifice godly character for success. For instance, think about this. We are commanded in various ways by God not to lie. But ask yourself this, what if lying helps you get what you want? Like an A on a test or a paper. Or lying helps you close a business deal favorably for you. Or it gets you elected. Or it keeps you out of trouble. Or maybe from even getting a ticket or a fine. Our true character shows in Christ and our obedience to God, in doing the good things of God, even when no one is looking. Every day we are constantly being faced with one of two types of choices. Either choices which will draw us deeper into the love of God and His will for our lives, or we will be making choices that lead us away from intimacy with God and away from His will for our lives. And living in obedience to God is definitely something where we will need the Holy Spirit's help and power. So the Holy Spirit, through Paul, teaches the Galatians how the Holy Spirit empowers God's grace in our lives. But there are just a couple of opening notes I want to mention before we talk about these three areas of help of God's grace. I just want to mention briefly how we cooperate the Holy Spirit to release God's grace in our lives. Number one, I've heard many people pronounce this the fruits of the Spirit, plural, but it's really fruit, singular. It's not nine different fruits. It's one fruit that manifests in nine different powerful qualities. The fruit of the Spirit is singular because it springs from only one root, the Holy Spirit. All of these qualities are in unity with each other, just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are also in unity with each other. Second thing to mention, in the Greek text, and just even, you might say, categorically, the fruit of the Spirit appears to be grouped in threes. Group number one seems to be love, joy, peace, which points to our relationship with God. Group number two, patience, kindness, goodness, seems to point to our relationship with others. And then group number three, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, seems to point to our relationship with our world. And what we're going to do is look first at how the Holy Spirit gives us grace in our relationship with God. Love, joy, peace. The first part of Galatians 5:22, the Holy Spirit says this through Paul, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Back at the beginning of this chapter, Galatians 5:1, the Holy Spirit makes this statement through Paul, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." And so this is really a part of the discussion on whether we will live by God's grace or try to live under the law. That is, when we obey God, will we do it out of love for God and freely choose to obey, or are we obeying out of obligation because we want to earn God's favor? Or maybe because, like I grew up, fearing being punished by God. There's a story I came across that I thought did a good job of trying to explain the difference between law and grace. It was about choosing to love. And it seems there was this husband and wife, sadly, they didn't really love each other. The story reports that the man was very demanding, so much so that he prepared a list of rules and regulations for his wife to follow. And he insisted that she read them over every day and obey them to the letter. Among other things, his do's and don'ts indicated such details as what time she was supposed to get up in the morning, when his breakfast should be served, and how the housework should be done. Now, if he'd been in an Italian family, he wouldn't have lived long. But after several long years, the husband died. As time passed, the woman fell in love with another man, one who dearly loved her. Soon they were married. This husband did everything he could to make his new wife happy, continually showering her with tokens of his appreciation. And one day, as she was cleaning the house, she found tucked away in a drawer this list of commands that her first husband had drawn up for her. As she looked at it, looked it up and down, it dawned on her that even though her present husband had not given her any kind of list, she was doing everything her first husband's list required anyway. She realized that she was so devoted to this man that her deepest desire was to please him out of love, not obligation. In a similar way that as we surrender to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, love, joy, peace, they are qualities of character that the Holy Spirit grows within us towards God and towards God's commands. God's grace can change the way we relate to God. But now what we're going to look at is how the Holy Spirit gives us grace in our relationship with others. Think of these three parts of this fruit: patience, kindness, goodness. That's found in the second part of Galatians, verse 22. But I'm going to be using two verses, two different texts that talk about this. In the second part of Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit, patience, kindness, goodness." But in Romans 12:18, it says this. It's an interesting challenge. "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Now, did you notice what it said in Romans 12, 18? It says, if possible. And I believe that's because both life and history show us that not everybody can get along with each other. But the grace of God in the power of the Holy Spirit can help us with the so far as it depends on you. Even when we have conflict with other Christians. I remember reading the story about two famous pastors, well, at least one of them was famous, that were in conflict with each other. And it might help us understand that Romans 12, 18, what it might look like. Charles Spurgeon, I think most of you have heard of, and Joseph Parker both had churches in London in the 19th century. Now, on one occasion, Parker commented, not as anything derogatory, on the poor condition of children admitted to Spurgeon's orphanage. But as so commonly happens, it was reported to Spurgeon in a way entirely different than what it had been said. And it came across that Parker had criticized the orphanage itself. And guess what happened the next Sunday? Spurgeon blasted Parker the next week from his pulpit. The attack was printed in the newspapers and became the talk of London. Now, people flocked to Parker's church the next Sunday to hear what his rebuttal would be. But here is what they heard instead from Reverend Parker. I understand Dr. Spurgeon is not in his pulpit today, and this is the Sunday they used to take an offering for the orphanage. I suggest we take a love offering here instead. Now, this delighted the crowd. The ushers, it's going to sound unbelievable, so don't faint, ushers. They had to empty the collection plates three times. And later that week, there was a knock at Parker's study. It was Spurgeon. And Spurgeon said this to Parker. He said, "You know, Parker, you have practiced grace on me. You have given me not what I deserved. You have given me what I needed." The fact of the matter is that people will do things to us that will test our godly character. You probably have already observed that in your own life. When that happens, we have to choose what it is we want people to see shining through our lives. The character of Christ or the character of our anger. And I will confess that I still struggle with this all the time on how I express my anger also. It's hard. The power of the Holy Spirit releases God's grace of patience, kindness, and goodness into our lives so that even when people treat us in a way that they should not, that is, I like to use the phrase, they trespass against us, through God's grace, we can respond with God's character rather than our own. We are to treat others much the way that God treats us when we trespass against God. God's grace can change how we relate to God, and God's grace can change how we treat others. But let's just look at one more area and how the Holy Spirit gives us grace to overcome in our world. It mentions faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, I'm going to be using two different texts to try to illustrate the meaning of this. The last part of Galatians 5:22, going into the first part of verse 23, says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." But then in Zechariah 4:6, we have this recorded. "Then God, this angel of the Lord said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Now I began the sermon about talking how the devil will keep pressuring us to sacrifice godly character for success. Do you realize that we are in a battle in this world, much as Zerubbabel was while trying to serve God? And just like Zerubbabel, we will need the power of God's grace expressed through faithfulness, gentleness, self-control to overcome the devil's battle to dominate us. How we are to deal with this battle against the devil is like something the National Geographic published about, of all things, the Alaskan bull moose. The Alaskan bull moose males may not realize this. These things are huge. I remember canoeing up in Algonquin in the spring, and just the mama moose, or is it meese, plural? Whatever it is, they're huge. And they're small compared to the bulls. But during the fall breeding seasons, they literally go head-to-head with antlers crunching together as they collide. I can't even imagine the sound of what that collision sounds like. But often, because of these battles for dominance, their only weapons, their antlers, are broken. But that ensures their defeat when that happens. Excuse me for a second. The heftiest moose with the largest and strongest antlers triumphs. And this went on to report that, therefore, the battle in the fall is really won during the summer, when the moose eat continually. The one that consumes the best diet for growing antlers and gaining weight will be the heavyweight in the fight. And those that eat inadequately have weaker antlers and less bulk. So what's the lesson for us here? Spiritual battle awaits us. Satan will choose a season to attack. But will we be victorious or will we fail? Because much of what happens depends on what we do now before the war begins. The bull moose principle, enduring faith, strength, and wisdom for trials are best developed before they're needed. That's the difference between people who study hard and then, like me, I'd always cram at the last minute for my finals. An important part of our bulking up to overcome the way Satan and our world will try to bully and dominate us begins now, before those trials come. We must yield daily to the desires of the Holy Spirit so that the power of God's grace will produce a growing strength in faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God's grace can change how we relate to God. God's grace can change how we treat each other. And God's grace can give us the strength to overcome our world. But the question is, how do we grow in God's grace? What I'd like to do is briefly look at each of these three areas of relationship and then just have us do a little bit of self-examination and challenge. First, we must choose to abide in the love, the joy, and the peace of Christ. Here's something that Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you." That word abide also means to dwell or take up residence. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, this particular fruit of Jesus' character, love, joy, peace, can only be growing if we plant ourselves down in Jesus' presence. Something I've had to learn the hard way is to understand the difference between being a human doing and being a human being in my relationship with Jesus. There's this constant temptation I fight when I have my prayer time with the Lord, and it's the pressure I feel to get my prayer list done, get it prayed, to do with God, versus the desire of Jesus simply for me to be with Him. A human doing is only interested in what we can get God to do for us, while a human being is more interested in being in the presence of God. Now, to illustrate, which kind of plant do you think will grow stronger? The one that is constantly being moved around from soil to soil, garden to garden, or one that is planted and abides in the good soil? One is more like weeding. The other is more like gardening. In the same way, if we allow ourselves to abide in the soil of Jesus' presence, then the fruit of Jesus' character will continue to grow stronger in our lives. So, a little self-examination. You don't have to say anything out loud, but think about this. With Jesus, are you more of a human doing or a human being? Next, we have to choose to have healthier relationships. Think of that fruit, patience, kindness, and goodness. They are also the fruit of Jesus' character in our lives. I believe that all three of these godly character traits point to one of two choices we will have to make when someone trespasses against us. We can either retaliate, that is, gratify the desires of our flesh, or respond, that is, to gratify the desires of the Spirit. Now, there's a part of me that would like to blame my anger and the struggles I have with it on my Irish-Italian heritage. But I know better. I don't think there is any culture or ethnic heritage that is spared from the desire for revenge. When we believe someone has hurt us, betrayed us, treated us unfairly, whether it really happened or not, our fleshly inclination is to cause them to hurt like they hurt us. But if we choose to keep abiding in the presence of Jesus, even in those times of relationship difficulty, then I believe that not only will the character of Jesus' love, joy, and peace show up, but also the character of Jesus' patience, kindness, and goodness. In order to gratify the desire of the Spirit, we must do what Parker did to Spurgeon. And practice grace on those who trespass against us. So a little self-examination. What do you practice more on others? Your anger or Jesus' grace? Lastly, number three, we must choose to overcome in our world with the character of Jesus' faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Think about Jesus' faithfulness. When Jesus was given the cup of obedience in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus faithfully drank what the Father gave him rather than abandoning his call. Think about Jesus' gentleness. When Jesus faced the fiery ordeal of his arrest and his crucifixion, rather than calling down 10,000 legions of angels, Jesus remained obedient. Another meaning of the word gentleness is strength under control. And think about Jesus' self-control. The night before Jesus was to be arrested, rather than throwing a pity party for himself, Jesus sought to comfort, to encourage, and to prepare his followers for the sufferings that Jesus himself was about to experience. In John 16:33, hear these words of Jesus. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus' faithful obedience led him on a path towards suffering. And rather than running away from the trials, persecutions and sufferings that often accompany faithful obedience, Jesus ran towards them. Jesus overcame the world. And because Jesus has overcome the world, so can we. Now, just to wrap up and to summarize, if we plant ourselves in Jesus' presence, that can happen through prayer, through worship, study of the Word of God, then we can have a stronger relationship with God, healthier relationships with each other, and a more powerful witness and effect upon our world around us. But the question is, will we let the Holy Spirit pour into us the grace of God in Christ Jesus or not? I'd like to close in time by just simply letting you ask God for His grace. Let's quiet ourselves right now. As you feel ready, if any of these areas really touched you, ask God to give you His grace. in your relationship with Him, with others, with our world. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I praise you and thank you that you give us the power of your grace, the power of your Spirit to overcome all the barriers that the enemy will try to put in our way in our relationship with you. Lord God, this day we surrender to your grace. And Holy Spirit, fill my brothers and sisters right now with the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Be blessed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As an opportunity to respond to this, and again, you're welcome.